Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. Glad you joined me on this beautiful Saturday. I've got J.R. Harding with me, great author, a disability advocate. Brian Mitchell, the drama teacher and director of this play over at Leon High School, he'll be with us. And Miriam Dady has another guest in the Business Spotlight. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Well, here we are, my friend, on another weekend of activities all around town and stories to tell from the week's happenings. We've got county commissioners wanting to run for superintendent of Leon County Schools. You got Leon High School doing a play tonight, Dearly Departed. We've got Brian Mitchell. He's the director of this production and one of the stars of the show will be with us coming up here in this first hour. And, of course, we're going to talk with our good friend, new friend, Dr. J.R. Harding. He is an author and a disability advocate. I'm going to learn about what that really means and about his life story to date. And in fact, he's working on a second book now that'll bring us further along his tale of having been injured, a quadriplegic twice, two different injuries actually that he incurred. Man, this guy just doesn't give up and keeps going and going. And he's doing that now on behalf, or has been doing so on behalf of all of those who face the limitations, the challenges, the setbacks, the roadblocks that folks face when they are beset with a disability of some kind. And that, I think, you'll find quite inspiring and eye-opening. We're coming up on the anniversary of the celebration of the Americans with Disability Act. It was passed now 25 years ago. So we'll talk with him about that. He'll be here in the second hour. We've got news from around the week. Particularly the story, I like this one. This was cool. Tallahassee ranks well on the AARP Livability Index. You heard about this? So apparently the way this works is AARP ranks cities and neighborhoods around the country and does so as to the livability of those communities for people who are 50 years of age and older. Well, our beloved Tallahassee scored well. I guess this was Florida's overall score of 47. Tallahassee's score landed at 55. So we're above the state, let's say the state average, I guess, or the state score. So according to Dave Bruns, who is a spokesman for AARP in Florida, he says, well, you know what? The overall score is pretty good. What really is dividing the ranking for Tallahassee is the civic and social engagement. And, of course, this is a community where people are engaged in a lot of different ways. Well, that's got to be encouraging to all of us who spend a good deal of time trying to underscore and celebrate and point to all of the many ways that Tallahassee brings quality of life issues to bear with all of our festivals and, my goodness, the number of associations that get out there and create for us these events, and many of them then are senior-friendly, we might say. And I'll have to confess, I'm in that 50 and older crowd, and I find Tallahassee very livable and very engaging. So what does that say? Anyway, that's a good note of encouragement for all of us who are in particularly interested in where Tallahassee is headed. And, you know, that's the mantra around here, where we talk about very cool people doing very cool things and giving the world a better view of the real Tallahassee. That's kind of how we came up with this here idea for Tallahassee Talks. We think that we're more than a football team or a state capital or a championship or a leading university championship football. Certainly more than scandalous headlines or, you know, an FBI investigation or a botched election. There's a lot that goes on from day to day. And most of that happens down here in the trenches with people like Brian Mitchell. I mean, here he is, the drama teacher there at Leon High School. Okay, and so with his effort, he's trying to then advance what has been a marvelous run. Leon is known for its drama productions, dramatic productions, I guess we should say, plays and musicals and such. And yes, people have come from the ranks of Leon High School and gone on with some notoriety and have achieved success professionally as actors and actresses. Well, okay, so that's where we're going to put our marker. We want to talk about those things that we think make Tallahassee not only who it, what it is, I guess, but then who we are as people as we reflect upon that. What does that do for us? Because after all, if you're part of a situation, we'll call it a community at large, that is bringing good things to life, what does that do for you personally? Well, I hope that it encourages you to do the same. I hope that you find opportunity in your own way to express more of what you bring, the uniqueness of your contribution. You know, I had a chance to do a TED talk here recently, TEDx particularly, TEDx Tallahassee. And in that, I talked about what it means to go through this process of discovering who you really are and what you're really worth and why you're here. So in all of that, then if we can find inspiration from those people that we're connected to, okay, so here comes J.R. Harding, a guy who was injured twice in his lifetime and as such has given up those early ambitions and made some rediscovery of who he really is. Well, that's a great example. There's a great guy to learn from. Folks, so we're going to talk with him in the second hour of the show, but I've got a lot coming at me right now. So we're going to talk about local events happening this weekend and coming up through the week with Katie Gibson. She's standing by with events in a minute, brought to you by TallyConnection.com. Katie?
Head downtown today for the 22nd Annual Crawfish Festival and get your helping of delicious New Orleans-inspired crustacean fare while enjoying live music and perhaps participating in the live auction. The event benefits the TMH NICU unit and TPD Unity Tour and goes till 11 tonight. The Tallahassee Ballet presents backstage at the ballet today with sessions from 1:30 to 2:30 and 3 to 4. Watch the dancers rehearse their upcoming spring production of In Performance With and meet the artistic staff who design the costumes and make the performances come to life. Tallahassee Craftapalooza is your place for a day of shopping and fun. There will be over 60 vendors, including local artists and craft makers, as well as a fun kids area and food and music. It supports the Kids First Fund and is at the Cross Creek Square parking lot until 5 p.m. today. Come out to the Tallahassee Museum today and tomorrow for the Tallahassee Jazz and Blues Festival. Get up and dance or sit back and enjoy the best jazz, swing, and rhythm and blues Tallahassee has to offer. There will also be fun family activities on the Pioneer Farm and refreshments available. If traditional Irish music is more your style, don't miss Celtic Women at the Civic Center tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. Celebrating its 10th anniversary season, the group brings traditional Irish standards, classical favorites, and contemporary pop songs to the stage in the group's signature style. This Friday, May 1st, head over to Kleeman Plaza for the Pay It Forward Fish Fry to support the Big Bend Homeless Coalition. Enjoy great food and live music and help end homelessness in the Big Bend. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Good morning, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. And I am so excited this morning. I am sitting opposite the artistic director, Tyrone Brooks, of Tallahassee Ballet. And Tyrone, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This is wonderful for me personally, because those of you that know me know that I'm an art nerd and a culture nerd. And to have someone that is the same kind of nerd as me is always exciting, even when it's a business spotlight. Tyrone, I want you to tell our listeners, what is coming up for Tallahassee Ballet right now? And then we're going to talk about a lot of stuff.
Well, we have a performance coming up on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's called In Performance with the Tallahassee Ballet. It's an exciting program. It's a program that's jaw-dropping. It's going to leave you awe and wanting you to come back for more. We have we're doing Paquita, which is a ballet. And the little story behind Paquita is it was first performed by the Paris Opera in 1846, and then later done by Russia by Marcus Petipa. And it basically, the story is about a girl who was kidnapped from the gypsies as a baby. And in the story, she's saved by the French officer from a certain death ordered by an evil governor. It's brand new tutus done by Ann Todd, our wardrobe mistress. And she does everything by hand. Everything is done on the premises. Beautiful costumes, incredible. And we also have Delirium, which is also restaged and choreographed by Catherine Carr Cashin, which is our resident choreographer, who is an absolutely incredible genius in the art form, definitely. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful ballet. It's soft, it's gentle, it's elegant. And it's somewhat done in a neoclassical to classical style. And then we have Sarah Harkness Sebastian, who has choreographed something called Power Play, which is for our powerful men of the Tallahassee Ballet. And basically, it's a push and shove. You can, I can't, I can do it better. Egos, basically. And then we have Chaos, which is choreographed by Christopher L. Huggins. He's a former member of Alvin Ailing, and he's an international choreographer, and is absolutely dynamite. Now, this is something that's very different for the Tallahassee Ballet dancers, in a sense, because this program is very diverse. We're going to open with beautiful tutus and jewels, and we're going to end with something that's very jaw-dropping in bare feet.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, and if it's called Chaos, you're probably performing it in my closet or something like that. No, where, in reality, where is it going? Where is the performance? And how much does it cost?
The performance is at Nancy Fisher, located on the campus of FSU, Florida State University, School of Dance. And the performance, the tickets are $35. Mm-hmm. And you can go to our website at www.tallahasseeballet.org.
Perfect. May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Yes. On May 1st, the performance at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. May 2nd, 8 p.m. And May 3rd, Sunday, is at 2:30.
Oh, good. A matinee. And it's appropriate for everybody?
It's appropriate for everyone. But also then again, too, we also have a performance on May 2nd, which is in the morning for children. It's called Carnival of the Animals.
Tell me about
it. Which is absolutely wonderful. It's mimicking animals and how they walk and how they make movement. It's also something that's also entertaining for children. It's going to be very theatrical because we have a wonderful projection slide program that's going to be very entertaining.
Oh, how much fun is that? And where is that going to be?
This is also going to be at Nancy Fisher Smith Auditorium.
Fun.
And what's wonderful about this performance is that this will be the first time our young artists will be able to have their own performance. And I wanted to do this because it gives them a sense of ownership.
I love it.
And that they do not have to share the stage with the senior dancers. So they're very excited. And watching these little ones do what they do best. And they're getting an opportunity to explore, to have make some self-discoveries of both dance and theater.
Neat. Now, I am a storyteller at heart. But words have always been my avenue. What you do is you tell stories with body movement, with gestures, with a blink, with a wave of a hand. I love that. I think that's so exciting. And it's something that a lot of children are struggling with because we have so much technology. We got the iPads and the iPhones, and what you're doing is getting kids out of the new comfort zone, right?
Absolutely.
Neat, neat, neat. That's great.
And, you know, I absolutely agree, too, because, you know, the times have changed. Mm. Times have changed where children are growing up extremely fast, and they're missing the most delicate part of growing up, and that's being a child.
Right.
You know, where before you would see a child running down the street and chasing another child and jumping across a puddle and kicking rocks and and double dutching, you know, and playing hide and go seek and dodge balls. And I don't recall seeing that in a very long time. And to a certain degree, it's almost like as if their innocence has been stolen by technology, because they're either sitting in front of a computer, an iPad, or texting,
yeah,
opposed to really communicating, you know, feeling the energy of someone else and seeing their body language and reading a person's mind through body language opposed to just through text.
Isn't that the truth? Now, are you seeing that evidence of that kind of technological shift in the way kids are using their phones or whatever to communicate? Do you see that in your students?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because it's become the norm. You know, when I'm talking to one of the students, it's like, you know, I always tell, especially the young men, if I'm speaking with you, if I want to shake your hand, you look me in the eye.
Mm.
You know, like they say, the eyes are the windows of the world. If I can see your eyes, then I can see you. You know, I want to, if we're having conversation, I don't want to talk at you or talk to you, but I want us to have conversation to be engaged.
Wow.
And the same thing happens in dance. We don't go to the theater, and this is my philosophy, we don't go to the theater to be entertained. We go to the theater to be engaged. This is why people keep coming back, because they felt something while they were sitting at a performance.
Isn't that true? Because you can go to a movie and be entertained, but you're not a part of it. An audience member sitting and watching a live performance is as much a part of that performance as whatever is going on stage.
Well, and it's true, too. And I had the opportunity to be in the presence of Nelson Mandela when I was in South Africa for 6 weeks. And he was our guest of honor that evening. And he said, the wonderful things about the arts is that you can go to the theater for 1 hour, 2 hours, and forget about the troubles of the world.
Mm.
And with that saying, in that same sentence, he was saying, the arts ignite the mind.
That's beautiful. And I hate to say this, but we are out of time. I loved having you as a guest, Tyrone. I want you to repeat the website because listeners, I want you to support Tallahassee Ballet, and I think you will be blessed if you do. So say that website one more time.
It's www.tallahasseeballet.org.
Thank you, Tyrone, for being a guest. Thank you, Tallahassee. I'll see you at the theater.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are here, we're back, and we're talking with some very interesting folks who have graced us with their presence. I've got Brian Mitchell here. He is a director of a locally produced play called Dearly Departed. I already screwed it up. Dearly Departed, a drop-dead comedy. We love that. And the very lovely Julia Frichter, who has a leading role in this lovely little play. Well, folks, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. So, first of all, let's talk about showtimes. I know that you had your debut last night, and tonight's performances are what time?
3 o'clock p.m. and 7:30 p.m.
So, 3 this afternoon and then 7:30 again tonight, and playing where?
At Leon High School.
Leon High School. Mm-hmm. Oh, we love Leon High School. Go Lions.
Go Big Red.
Yeah. Trojans, just look aside for a moment. Here we are. Yeah. But we're glad you're here. And this is a student production that you have a third performance then on Sunday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Sunday matinee. Or what time is that on Sunday?
At 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay, folks. If you don't know the truth here, and I happen to know a little bit about this. You will bring us up to date, Brian. I'm sure you will.
Mm-hmm.
Leon High School, in its history, has produced some rather notable talent. Some of those folks have actually gone on and done some things nationally, but most of them have done well in any capacity. So, Julia, is that part of your ambition that you're wanting your own sitcom eventually? I mean, is that how this works?
I'm actually a lot more into stage acting myself.
Okay.
I've been considering majoring in it in college and potentially going further than that.
Yeah. So you've been acting as a kid for a number of years, or is this a new thing for you?
Yes. I started in the 7th grade with the Cobb Theater program and then moved into Leon, and this is my final year with Leon Theater.
You're a senior.
Mm-hmm.
So then what? Where do you go from high school?
I'm going to New College in the fall.
Oh, my goodness. So the folks at Florida State couldn't entice you with some, like, full scholarship, 4 years kind of thing, prepaid, no?
No.
What's wrong with those people? I don't understand that. Okay. So theater, do you have a background in theater because of your family, or how did you get involved as a kid there at, you said, seventh grade?
To be perfectly honest, I chose theater as an elective because in my 14-year-old eyes, there was no better option. And I grew to love it. Even the first semester, I was in that class.
That's a very common tale. Brian, you find that to be true. A lot of people
kind
of stumble into acting, and they discovered something
similar to my story
in themselves. Tell us about that. How did you get involved?
Well, I went to a public elementary school. Mm-hmm. Then I transferred to a magnet program in music. And then I found out that you can sing and act at the same time. And that was kind of weird to me. So when I got to 6th grade,
who knew?
I switched to drama, and then I've just been in theater since.
How cool is that? So your position at Leon High School, what is that?
I'm the drama teacher and also one of 3 co-sponsors for the thespian. Thespian troupe, 1429.
1429. Tell us about that. What's that all about?
Well, we have competition. We go to districts in Niceville. And then from there, we go to Tampa for the state competition. And generally speaking, we kind of sweep all the categories with Critics' Choice, which is like the best in show. This year, we did Once, and that was directed by my co-sponsor, Millie Seckel. And that was the kids had to play string instruments, violin, violas, and they dance at the same time and they sing at the same time.
Holy
so,
smokes.
Yeah.
I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. How do they do this? Wow. So you're infected with this, aren't you? You're just down in and you love theater and love kids.
Yes, I have my moments where I walk around the school and just bust into a monologue or a song or a dance out of nowhere.
See, there's treatment available for that. I just want you to know. Because I used to do that all the time, and then they changed up my medication.
But see, that's why they put me with the kids. So.
Ah, so they know.
They know.
He's
they know.
A crazy guy.
Yeah.
We know, and we love him for it.
We love your craziness. That is true, though. Don't you think that theater works because of the sort of out-of-box, we'll say, or the creative germ that just takes you places that other people dare not go?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it has been my plague. Because
I tell the kids that you can't lose your imagination. Mm-hmm. As you get older, you have to keep that little imagination, mm-hmm. and then just add common sense to it, and then acting. Children, they don't get embarrassed very quickly. We learn that as we get older.
Yeah.
And they think so much outside the box, where you have to pull them in to see the what's in front of them. And I think as we get older, we start to not worry about what's beyond and think about what's in front. So it is that keeping that fine line.
Why do we do that, though? I mean,
embarrassment.
What are we embarrassed about? Yeah.
Trying to be cool. Because I have this this little problem with my classes, some of them, my beginner classes.
Yeah.
They're like, so timid to get up in front of people. But when I walk around the school and I see them during lunchtime, yelling and playing around, so much character. But when they have to do it, it's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's tough to break through. I remember teaching years ago, I was teaching a drama class, and this was for an eighth grade group of students, And I came in touch with the fact that they were so inhibited about who they really what they were allowed to do, what they were allowed to say. So one of the exercises that they hated, and they obviously hated, I'd make them all lay on the floor, and they'd have to put their arms and their legs, they'd lay on their back and put their arms and legs straight up in the air. I called it the dying cockroach position. So, I'd walk in, and they would all be just like huddled around their, in their little desks. And I'd say, okay, everybody up, dying cockroach position. They hated that. And I can't imagine why. But after about 2 years ago, I was at a local theater, and this young woman walked up to me who had just graduated from FSU, one of my students back when she was in eighth grade. I kind of remembered who she was, vaguely. There's a lot of kids in that class. Hadn't seen her since. And she said, I just want you to know that drama class inspired me to go on and major in theater. And I've just graduated from Florida State, and I'm heading up to, I don't know where it was, Michigan or someplace, to get her graduate degree in theater. So, Julia, are you inspired by the other players around you and by those who are your teachers and your directors and such? Does that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody I've ever worked with, be it my director, my teacher, or just my peers, everybody brings something new to the table, and that is inspiring. With Mr. Mitchell and stuff, he brings this amazing routine. We have these awesome drills and things that we do.
Yeah.
But he brings a craziness to it, and he has shown me how to let go with my acting, not let go, be free and have that childishness and just do whatever comes, comes forth without being afraid.
So it's a spontaneous sort of thing.
Any embarrassment I might have had when he first started teaching me is now gone.
And see if you agree with this too, Brian. I think that we push back from that because we think that somehow we're going to lose respect or even self-respect. And it's just the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right now we're doing a musical theater unit in my class.
Okay.
And the kids are... oh, Mr. Mitchell, I can't sing. I said, well, I'm not looking for the next American Idol. I'm looking for the next actor and act your way through the song. Well, you say that, but the other kids are going to laugh about me, my singing. I said, well, the people who laugh are the ones that's not doing the work. So which one is more important and which one looks better? You doing it or you not doing it?
Very cool.
So yeah, it's exactly, I agree with it.
Talking with Brian Mitchell here and Julia Frichter, they have this great little play at Leon High School coming up tonight, this afternoon and this evening. Dearly Departed, a drop-dead comedy. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Brian Mitchell. He is the theater director, the drama teacher at Leon High School, who does this with a great deal of sadness, really. It's pathetic, you know, because they force him to go to work every day, and he has to put up with people like Julia Frichter, dear Lord, and, you know, and then he has to produce plays and direct the plays, and oh, my God, you know, so, no, I'm teasing. But, in fact, a lot of times we go through life, don't we, with a kind of drudgery about us, whatever we're doing, right?
Yeah, and then you, at the end of the day, you sit back and look at everything. Mm. You're like, well, it was worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it.
This show, we had, 7 weeks of rehearsal. You know, we had the ups and downs, especially we had spring breaks. So I gave them that break.
Yeah.
And so, and this is my second year of teaching. And dealing with teenagers, like, all the time. Yeah. So I just have to get used to it. And they're
definitely
pulling.
I noticed you stutter now. That there's a kind of a twitch in your eye, and you're trembling a bit this morning after that sort of...
Yeah,
endurance.
They pull a lot out of me. I tell them my first intention was to be a actor, and then become a teacher,
right?
Because I figured that
know the craft.
While I can go out there, and then I thought about it, and I said maybe I can teach to keep me on my P's and Q's. Cause I have to teach it to other people, and then branch out. And they definitely keeping me on my P's and Q's.
make sure that you got it together. There is a discipline in theater, and that's probably the other, I think, misconception for those who are not acquainted with what it really requires. You talk about rehearsals and stagecraft and all that goes into it. I mean, it's a lot of work, isn't it, Julia?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
we've been rehearsing every day, 3 to 5:30, and, you know... 2.5 hours by itself doesn't sound like a lot, but after weeks and weeks, it takes a lot out of you. And
and in that process then, too, to maintain a kind of fresh perspective. Mm-hmm. As an actress, you come to that role, and you're expected to bring this to us as if it's the first time you've ever said those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you do mentally to try to make that happen? How does an actor find the grease they need for that, I guess?
Well, there's several methods that people talk about. One is to think about your own memories, which have similar emotions, and you associate them. I don't do that so much as I try and empathize with whoever I'm portraying. I try and dig as deep down as possible. I become that person while I'm on stage to the best of my ability. And I think that, for me at least, keeps the emotions fresh. And and real, you know.
Tell us about this little play. What's it called? The Dearly Departed.
A
drop dead comedy.
It's about a dysfunctional family coming together to bury their father, husband, brother, and the guy himself, Bud Turpin. He's so mean.
That's the character's name?
Yeah, his name is Bud Turpin.
Bud Turpin.
And you really, you only see him at the very beginning because he dies at the very beginning. And
I guess we're all happy about that because he's such a mean person. Okay, good.
So you have his
I'm
wife.
I'm laughing already. This is great.
You have his wife who they fell out of love years ago. Uh-huh. And they just stood together because, the Southern family traditions
right,
and all that.
Right, yeah.
So they stayed together and they have three children. The oldest cannot have children, and he's somewhat alcoholic and paranoid and all that. Uh-huh. And then you have his wife try to soothe everybody, calm down everybody. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want that those problems.
Enabler,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Yeah, right.
And then you
thus
have
the dysfunctional portion of the show. Got it.
Well, I haven't quite got there yet.
Oh. It gets worse.
It gets worse. And you have the other son who has a lot of children, but he has these dreams, getting rich quick. So
schemes
and all that, and he put all his money into these dreams, and he ends up with no money at all. They live in the trailer and all
that. Would be me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his wife is just nagging Nancy.
Boy, is that me? Yeah. Okay.
Then you have, well, with the family, you have the daughter.
Right.
She's kind of very nonchalant about everything. I guess she takes everything in and she just, you know what? Yeah. You guys are worrying about it, right. So I'm just going to sit here and eat.
And that's the role that you play, Julia?
No.
Oh. I'm just curious. So what is it? What role do you play in this film?
So I play Lucille Turpin, who's the eldest son's wife, the peacemaker.
Ah, the enabler.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The one who is unable to bear children.
Right.
She, the entire time, becomes gradually more and more stressed by being around the family and being around death and her husband, who is panicking in the face of death tries and fails debatably keep things in line.
Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah.
So your average American family here and
that's
dealing
it.
With the death of...
There's two more big characters. You have the sister of the guy who died.
Yeah.
Overly religious.
Okay.
Like overly, like crazy.
Fanatical. Uh-huh.
Yes. And she has a son, complete opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That pretty much rounds it out.
Mm-hmm. And that's the whole Turpin family.
American life. What an interesting concept. And so we're not going to give away anything here, so we'll leave it at that. But folks, sounds like a great idea if you want to spend the afternoon over there at Leon High School. The showtime is at 3:30 or 3?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Saturday
available
and
at the
7:30
door.
And 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay, so 3 o'clock today and then 7:30 tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And tickets are how much?
$8 student.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. $8 adults.
Yeah.
$4 students.
Okay.
And for my junior thespians and my thespians, they'll know who they are, $2.
Well, look at that. When you look at the theater community as such in Tallahassee, do you get a lot of that support, people who have been, who were students at Leon or who are involved in the theater community, and they're showing up, they're going to be there tonight?
The theater community is so small and so close.
Yeah, everybody knows
where we try our hardest to see every show. Like, for example, Theater Tallahassee have a Vita going on.
Yeah.
But since I have a 3 o'clock show on Saturday, most of them are going to try to make it to that 3 o'clock.
Right.
And we're all in different shows. Like currently I'm doing Chorus Line in Quincy and I'm doing this. And then I have a couple of students that's in the Vita Chorus Line and Dearly Departed. So it's.
Do you even know where you are right now?
No, I don't. I don't.
So, well, folks, we know where he is. He's here with us. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have with us a couple of very able folks here talking about this neat play going on over there at Leon High School. Dearly Departed, a drop-dead comedy. Brian Mitchell, the director, and he is as well the drama teacher at Leon. and the very lovely Julia Frichter, who plays a starring role as, what would you say, the wife of the eldest son in this family. So with that in mind, Julia, do you participate in other theater groups around town, young actors or whatever?
Well, young actors is a little pricey, so no, I have not done that. I mainly stick it to Leon Theater.
All right, well, let's stick it to Leon. We like that. Folks, this is what we love doing, talking with very cool people who are doing some very cool things. Brian Mitchell, Julia Frichter, thank you for being our guests.
Thank you very much.
You stay with me. We've got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour, and we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday in Tallahassee. Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with J.R. Harding in this hour. He is the author of a book called So What? There's a lot of different ways you could actually say that. So what? Or so what? Or so what? I don't know. Regardless, the book is worth reading, and it's the story of his life as a quadriplegic who was injured twice during his life. He had to go through not only the personal struggle of overcoming his own disability, but now he's a disability advocate. And so he's out there campaigning on behalf of all of those who face similar sorts of challenges, and not just those impediments that we might think of, ramps and thresholds and door handles. He's looking at how we imagine and categorize those who are disabled, how we conceive of what their life is really all about, their contribution, the potential for their employment, and their active self-reliant ability to continue to be a part of everything going on around them. Well, you know, that is a position of advocacy that he has administered for a number of years. And we're going to learn about his work in this particular book and another that he's got coming out soon. So that's coming up here shortly. We do have, of course, lots of activities around town. I've got Katie Gibson standing by with events in a minute. She'll be with us shortly and bring us up to date on all the weekend activities. The weather's kind of scattered. You know, you've got some expected thunderstorms through the weekend, but, I mean, you know, we'll be okay, and we'll have plenty of opportunity to participate. Don't forget that the fact that Leon High School is in production. They've got the matinee this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and then they're performing at 7:30. Brian Mitchell was with us here in the first hour, the director, talking about this play, Dearly Departed, which was their production. So we've learned a lot, haven't we, about this whole thing going on with Tallahassee emerging in this modern world. And as we do so, we are set upon helping Tallahassee better find itself. And what better way than to give people an opportunity to tell their story? We've heard so many great stories. We're now in our fifth season. It's remarkable. Hey, and don't forget, TallahasseeTalks.com. All of the shows that we've produced are archived there for you. So if you missed something or you want to go back and listen to what you've heard and make a few notes to yourself or share it with somebody that didn't get to tune in, you can do that. Each of the shows have their own link, and it's a permanent link, so you can feel confident in sharing that with whomever on your Facebook page or on your maybe a text or an email you want to send out. It's what we do best, and that is helping people tell their story while we help to acquaint you with our own story. And part of that right now is our Tallahassee Food Challenge. You know, we have this stigma in our culture about charities spending money on advertising. We think that that's somehow inappropriate, and it's absurd because, in fact, the marketing of a charitable effort is one of the best ways they can leverage those donated dollars. The funds that they have can be used towards increasing their effectiveness, their stretch, their reach, their mission. Well, okay, be that as it may, we realize that charities like Echo and Second Harvest of the Big Band, Catholic Charities, the Tallahassee Food Pantry, all of these food assistance charities are in that situation where they're really kept from trying to advertise what they do. And yet their mission is critical, especially this time of year. Reportedly, their food shortages are recurring. They happen every May and June where there are more kids out of school, the demand is up, and donations tend to fall off. So we're reminding everybody with this food challenge, help us, give generously. And here's the slogan: take the challenge, fill the truck, feed the hungry. It's simple. We're going to continue to remind you of this, and there's a way that you can get more information. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com will give you a listing of those sponsors. Here's how we fund this, by the way. The charities themselves don't pay anything. We go to our local business community, and we ask those business owners who care enough to invest this way in this effort, and they do so with a great deal of appreciation for the effort. So you can learn about the business sponsors. You learn about the promotion itself. We have a couple of locations during the month of May where you'll be able to do your grocery shopping. And when you're finished, bring us a bag of canned goods or other non-perishable food items. Help us fill that food challenge truck, and we'll see that it's delivered then to the food charities that I've mentioned. We just divide it up equally, make sure everybody gets their portion. So it's part of what we do to make it easier for people to stay connected, and that's why we love doing this here radio show. By the way, in staying connected, don't forget Tally Connection. It's a great location online where you can learn about all the activities going on from various organizations and associations and festivals and, you know, I don't know, a dog wash, whatever is happening. It's usually going to be on that website, tallyconnection.com. They are, by the way, sponsors of our show, and we appreciate that very much. And they are particularly bringing you today's events in a minute. I've got Katie Gibson standing by with a complete listing of the most important events for you to know about. So let's take just a minute here and listen to Katie Gibson with events in a minute. Katie?
Lens inspired crustacean fair while enjoying live music and perhaps participating in the live auction. The event benefits the TMH NICU unit and TPD Unity Tour and goes till 11 tonight. The Tallahassee Ballet presents backstage at the ballet today with sessions from 1:30 to 2:30 and 3 to 4. Watch the dancers rehearse their upcoming spring production of In Performance With and meet the artistic staff who design the costumes and make the performances come to life. Tallahassee Craftapalooza is your place for a day of shopping and fun. There will be over 60 vendors, including local artists and craft makers, as well as a fun kids area and food and music. It supports the Kids First Fund and is at the Cross Creek Square parking lot until 5 p.m. today. Come out to the Tallahassee Museum today and tomorrow for the Tallahassee Jazz and Blues Festival. Get up and dance or sit back and enjoy the best jazz, swing, and rhythm and blues Tallahassee has to offer. There will also be fun family activities on the Pioneer Farm and refreshments available. If traditional Irish music is more your style, don't miss Celtic Women at the Civic Center tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. Celebrating its 10th anniversary season, the group brings traditional Irish standards, classical favorites, and contemporary pop songs to the stage in the group's signature style. This Friday, May 1st, head over to Kleeman Plaza for the Pay It Forward Fish Fry to support the Big Bend Homeless Coalition. Enjoy great food and live music and help end homelessness in the Big Bend. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Merry Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are here with Dr. J.R. Harding, who, and I'm reading from this very fine book of his, earned his doctorate from Florida State University and then went out and built a successful career in disability advocacy. He is recognized internationally as a speaker and has testified on a number of occasions to the U.S. Congress on national public policy issues. His public service includes the United States Access Board, Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged, the ABLE Trust, and several other community non-for-profits. Let's welcome Dr. Harding. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Great to be here, Brian. Thanks for
having
me.
We are delighted and appreciate you taking time for us. Now, that's quite a bit of information, and it sounds like you you have no life. You constantly are at work doing all of this other, but I want to continue reading this. Through his service, he has helped create greater independence for individuals and with disabilities. He was the first graduate with a significant disability from both Leadership Tallahassee and Leadership Florida. He is passionate about tearing down barriers and helping others find their independence. That's a pretty hefty load there, my friend. How are you going about tearing things down? I want to know about that.
Well, it starts from my own personal journey. When I first became a quadriplegic myself back in 1983, and you know, as quickly as a balloon can pop, boom, my life changed.
Yeah.
And there
instantly.
It was,
yeah.
Instantly,
yeah.
In pieces, on the ground. And did I and my family and my friends and loved ones, did we have the courage to try and glue those pieces back together and run with this?
Wow.
And that's what we did. Mm. But while we were picking those pieces up, Brian, you know, the sidewalk didn't have a ramp. There wasn't a parking space and a parking space. There wasn't a lift on a bus.
And this happened to you twice.
It did, right.
So the first was back in 83.
Right.
I'm reading here from my notes, a two-time quadriplegic in 83 and again in 98.
Yes, I'm a bit of a medical miracle of sorts.
Indeed.
And which that's one of my claims to fame within the disability community that I did this twice.
You just don't know when to quit, do you?
No, I don't. And I'd like the ICU, apparently. Right.
Cute nurses. Come on. Right. Be honest.
Sometimes. Except for when you go into the ICU psychosis, and then you think they're part of the Star Trek kind of terrorist type of thing when they're experimenting on you.
Oh, man. Well, gratefully, when you were injured, your sense of humor survived well. And clearly, you have the intellectual prowess. Your education was in what area?
Higher education with an emphasis on public policy and began back with teaching and ed leadership, English background as a way to enter the workforce.
Right.
Because going back to those barriers, what was a quadriplegic really going to do in the 1980s? I was to be a jock. I was, you know, I was 6'4", 230 pounds, played football and rowed boats. And now all of a sudden I have to make a living with my mind.
Golly.
And so schools were the only things that were kind of accessible.
I got you.
And of course, as we're speaking right now, my mouth still works.
Well, hey, there I'm with you. There's not a whole lot else in me that works nowadays. But so if I got this right, you were headed in the direction of athletics, and then you were injured in 83, and then went on and got your graduate education.
Correct.
Okay.
Right, you got it.
So this was not just a reshaping of your life. This was a reinvention.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the proper term of it, a reinvention. And at the same time, as I was kind of coming of age, giving forgiveness about 6-7 years into the journey, the Americans with Disabilities Act happened. And the Congress and the people and the American citizens said, hey, you guys with disabilities, you're valued. We want you included. And now we're going to change the world so you can be included. But then we expect you to kind of carry your weight if we're going to invest in all of this infrastructure improvement, right? We're going to recognize you as a minority population who gets accommodations and some sensitivity. Well, you know, what's in it for us kind of thing?
Yeah.
And what's in it for us is that everybody has a gift. We all have the capacity to contribute if we find the right fits, the right companies, the right skills, the right bosses, the right neighbors, that then that self-sustainability idea of all of us contributing to the community.
You know, what occurs to me, your mission really isn't about those who are disabled. It's about life. It's about human integrity.
I would take it that far as well. But occasionally I'm more narrowed to achieve the minor steps of simply like getting here to your studio today.
Right.
25 years ago, that would not have been possible. And that's what makes actually today's conversation exciting, because this year marks the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And so kind of what's going on, well, nationally and locally and from a state level, we're all talking about what can we do better?
Right.
How do we embrace this part of the community who still has a long way to go to achieve that sense of independence?
I know one of the things that bothers me about our studio is the threshold from the hallway in here.
Right.
You're not the only one who's had to deal with that. People trip on it all the time.
Right. Well, this is, I technically,
that's a little thing, but
you could remove that.
Yep.
You could. And in fact, when I bought my house, I removed all the thresholds. Just simply, one, it's my house.
Right.
Right. And two, I can.
Yeah.
And why not? Now, but the tricky part was replacing the seal, the tile or the carpet for that 2 inches.
Right.
And then in some cases where they were outside doors or inside doors, how do you keep the critters out?
Folks, we're talking with Dr. Harding here. J.R., as he's known to his friends, and I am privilege to say I'm one of his newest friends. He's entitled this book, Now What?, and co-authored with Erica Richards Harding. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay with me.
Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and talking with J.R. Harding, author of Now What?, a book that is really, I suppose you'd say, a sort of life story, isn't it?
It is. It captures the coming of age from adolescence to adulthood through the two separate spinal cord injuries.
Yeah. And in that case, I suppose normal people would finally just say, I give up. I'm not doing this anymore. Clearly, you're not a normal person.
Well, I don't. I would like to say I am. But we all are given choices in life. And I chose not to quit. And as I quoted my football coach, he said, if you choose to get off the, you know, the bench, you'll succeed.
Well, in fact, I should say that Lee Corso is quoted here in reference to your book. And, of course, all of us know Lee Corso, ESPN broadcaster and football analyst. And he writes this. He said, it's a great read and a story about a determined young man, an inspiration to us all, a must read when you're feeling sorry for yourself. So you don't allow yourself a whole lot of self-pity then, I guess.
Perhaps in my own closet, yes.
When we're not on mic.
Right. And I can complain with the best of them.
Well, right. So it's human, isn't it? We're all faced with the same sort of adversities and the kinds of things that are just part of life. With one key note here, your adversities are not, let's say, temporary. You know, this is a life that is yours to live, but it is within this sort of class or category or, you know, status where barriers, physical barriers, and even the
mental
and social barriers.
Absolutely.
Are constant.
You hit it perfectly. There are the physical barriers, there's the attitudinal barriers, the communication barriers, and the programmatic barriers.
Yeah.
Those four kind of loop them together
depending
upon how you fit within the disability community.
And you have to face that, and those like you have to face that, along with the barriers in your own mind.
Absolutely.
So it's like double indemnity here.
Mm-hmm. Or it might be the barriers of your parents or your loved ones who are afraid to set you free, who are afraid to allow you to go fly in the community just because you have a disability.
You have to be cared for. Yeah.
Right.
So what is this SB 7022?
Well, this is kind of exciting. This is Senate Bill 7022, which is currently being debated in the Florida State legislature.
Okay.
And it's going to require governments to lead by example in terms of employment opportunities for persons with disabilities.
One of those barriers.
And actually, that's the biggest barrier is employment for persons with disabilities. Because
How so?
Well, if you look at the numbers, less than 30% of 57 million Americans with a disability work. And of that 30% who are working, most are working, say, part-time, half-time, or out of degree or out of, you know, classification. Mm-hmm. And the question becomes why? Well, historically, the why was you couldn't get health benefits. You couldn't get your needs met because we as a society under Social Security took care of people with disabilities. Well, if you're being cared for, you don't work.
Right.
So now we're trying to figure out how do we go from being cared for to work or pure independence, but all of us aren't going to make that that big leap. Some of us are going to be in the middle, and that's okay.
Right.
And that should be recognized.
Right.
But right now, the system haven't figured that one out yet. It's either all or none.
Oftentimes, it seems to me, we are governed by archaic thinking. And those ideas about a class of people or a lifestyle or an orientation, we just rely on those labels and those categorical thinking to guide us, right? So, and then somebody like you comes along and says, well, okay, I'm gonna rock your world because right. I'm going to break through that stereotypic thinking here. I got a job and I'm doing fine.
Right.
You know, yeah, I've had to work a little harder than maybe you did to get where I wanted to go. But you're okay with that.
I am. And in some cases, I may work longer on that harder idea of I might not do a 40-hour week. Yeah. I might do 50 or 55 to be able to do those 40 hours as well as Brian or better because I feel the obligation that I'm still competitive.
They say that, right. too, about, for example, women who have to work even harder. To demonstrate, or perhaps anyone who finds themselves in the minority position, we'll say, they have even more that they have to overcome to prove their worth. Huh?
Right, right. And yeah. and then you find out that those are exceptional employees, whether they're a woman, an African-American, or a person with a disability. And that's one of the mantras is any company or small business who takes that risk, the risk of hiring us,
unquote.
Right, and then is rewarded time after time after time because of the passion.
Right.
Right.
So then who are those, you are referred to as a disability advocate.
Right.
So you, what's your definition of that?
Well, my definition is really it's empowerment. It's work, it's independence, and it's life.
Hmm.
Okay?
So in every way possible.
Right. Yeah. So some might call it like living, learning, and working in the community. Some might call it empowerment, education, employment. Right. For me, it is all about life.
Right.
It is just simply the same opportunities be able to come over to your house, and have the 4th of July barbecue.
Right.
And guess what? Coming to your house, I might be able to get there, but can I get in it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can my kids hang out with your kids? Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Can we go to that Christmas party?
Right.
Right. And a lot of times, those components, everyday life issues, are the barriers.
I have to tell you that my wife was severely injured back in December. She, for all intents and purposes, shattered her left foot. She fell from a pretty good elevation. And when she did, it was misdiagnosed. She was told it was a high ankle sprain. They never did the MRI. And so she laid in agony for about a month and a half. And couldn't dare move it, let alone put any weight on it. And they finally put it in a cast for about a month. And then did the MRI and said, oh, okay, so you're healed. She still can't walk on it.
Right.
She's been in a wheelchair for the last 5 months, right? 6 months, 5 months. That's never happened before for her. That has never been part of our family. She's been the one who got it all done.
Right.
I mean, she's the mom.
Right. Well, moms are super moms.
Absolutely.
Right.
They have four kids.
Right. And they run it all. And now just simply getting in the car, running those errands, going to the bathroom, it all takes longer.
Yep.
And in some places, it's limited locations where some of that stuff can be done.
I have been re-educated.
Right.
Because I'm the guy behind the wheelchair, you know, getting her in and out.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about barriers, you know, the social barriers, the psychological barriers. It's been an amazing process for us. And so, you know, I'm sitting here as one of your disciples as you're talking, because I can clearly identify with the kind of oddity that presents. You just don't think about, wait a minute, that ain't going to work, because we can't do that with a wheelchair.
Right. No. You're never escaping it. It's with you 24/7,
yeah.
7 days a week, 365 days a year. It is a part of who you are.
Wow.
And then your chairs, your canes, your ramps, your lifts, that's also an extension of your identity, because the world is all looking at that. And thus you can't escape that corner of it.
Talking with Dr. J.R. Harding, author of Now What? And a disability advocate, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Dr. J.R. Harding. If you've just joined us, shame on you. You've missed a great opportunity to learn from this very able man. J.R. Harding is the author of a book called Now What? Or Now What? Or Now What? You can say it any way you want to, but it reads very clearly that this is a life story about a man who was injured twice, a two-time quadriplegic, who pushed back and fought back, not only for himself, but then has become this disability advocate, empowering, helping others be empowered, find independence, and enjoy life, just to have fun, right? And with that, his efforts have pushed the envelope. They've been a part of how, as a culture, we are better aware of the value of disabled individuals and their ability to be independent, to be productive, to be contributive, and pushing on those barriers that otherwise have kept folks out of that status. So here you are, Dr. Harding. We're coming up on this 25th anniversary of the ADA, Americans with Disability Act. That was a pivotal moment in our history, was it not?
It was. It was the last set of civil rights our country created and granted. And that was on a summer afternoon on July 26, 1990, on the West Lawn of the White House. Right. So it was on the heels of our civil rights in the 1960s and 70s that we then evolved for another 20 years until 1990, where we figured out we were going to create this thing called the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah. Right. And so it is that anniversary that reminds us of where we've been and how much we've achieved, but it probably points as well to what's left.
Right. You got it. And yeah. Brian, you could not have said it better that on July 24th here in Tallahassee, we will celebrate our version of this 25 years, and we're going to talk about where have we come from.
Okay.
We're going to talk about those who have grown up under equal rights.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about, well, what's in the future? What right. can we imagine
right.
that we still need to be able to do? Because right. we can now drive. We can get on the bus.
Yeah.
We can use a hotel room.
Yep.
We can go swimming in the swimming pool.
That's cool.
Right. We can shop in the grocery store. We can sit in the movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can use the restaurant table. We can go to college. Right. But now things like getting transportation on demand,
yep.
right, using a cab.
Yep.
How about buying a home that actually has accessible features in it without having to borrow an extra $50,000, right, just to be able to fix your bathroom and put a ramp on it,
yeah.
rather than getting the builders to start thinking, hey, maybe I should make the hallways a little wider. I should put those lever door handles on it. Maybe there should be a bathroom on the first floor,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
And then that way, as your wife encountered, we do have those now what moments where we're all temporarily or permanently challenged in some way or another.
Mm.
It might be a physical issue, it might be a mental issue. So it could be hidden or it could be obvious,
mm-hmm.
but we all have drama,
mm-hmm.
which is a form of a disability.
Is the pushback that you've experienced deliberate, do you think, or is it just ignorance? Is it we just don't think about it? Or are there those who say, why should we have to accommodate these people? Or both?
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. There are some of it where people are, frankly, are scared. They don't want to envision themselves.
So we're in denial.
In denial.
The possibilities.
Of having to actually deal with this. Right.
I know that's my ailment, because I don't want to think about it being anything but me.
Right.
Right.
Right. Then there's the issue of, well, sometimes under the Americans with Disabilities Act, it costs money to
yeah.
accommodate.
Yeah.
But what we've learned is, through smart design or universal design,
uh-huh.
that access is less than 1% of new construction.
Hmm.
So if you do it right the first time,
yep.
there isn't really any cost.
Yeah.
There was some cost when all of a sudden they threw the switch and they said, guess what?
Yeah.
You're now going to let
retrofit.
Yeah. Right. You're going to let 50 million people in
yep.
who never got to come to the party.
And that party is economic, in as much as now that business is going to have more customers.
Right.
Now that business is going to have
more employees. Right.
Now that society is going to have more taxpayers who are less dependent on the public
government.
Welfare.
Right.
Yep. So that sounds like a win-win to me.
It is. And that's okay. the beauty of empowering folks with disabilities
yeah. Yeah.
is when you bring all the pieces together, it is an absolute win-win for everyone.
Right.
But sometimes maybe that investment, it's not like the stock market. You're not going to cash out on a six-month run.
Sure.
Right. Long-term. It may be a 25-year on this person.
And in that respect, as you look forward, okay,
mm-hmm.
and we're coming up on that anniversary, and that's July 24th, you said?
July 26th is the actual anniversary,
okay.
but here in Tallahassee,
yeah.
we're doing it on the 24th, right, so we can have some good media. And right.
The 24th is what? A
Friday.
A Friday, yeah.
Friday.
Right. So remember that, folks, the 24th, in the celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Right, there'll be a little event, march, a parade, some speakers
Sweet.
At City Hall,
yeah.
and then food, fun, and barbecue in the Capitol courtyard.
With that. I'm
right.
totally down with that. Do you use sauce or you just do a dry rub?
Right. Oh, well, to me, I think you need both.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. So you're not discriminating there on our barbecue choices. This is good. Important stuff. Last question then. What's up ahead for you? Personally, what's your mission this year or the next 2 or 3 years? What's got your focus?
My craw, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, what's in your craw, buddy?
Right. Well, I have three objectives here in the immediate short term.
Mm-hmm.
One, finish book number two.
Okay.
What we're calling ADA Adventures,
All right.
which is not quite a sequel to this book, to our now what, but it fills in things like work, travel, leisure, politics from the vantage point of a person with a disability. But more importantly for me, it also talks about how wonderful this community is, where every now and then we get in a jam.
Right.
And you know what, Brian? You set your fork down, get out of your car, or come across the street because you're a good neighbor. Yeah. And you're like, amen. Hey, JR, yeah. You know, you go out there and run. Every now and then, if you need a lifeguard, call me.
Folks, I'm telling you, the book is available on Amazon, I assume.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
The title of the book is Now What? Dr. J.R. Harding with Erica Richards Harding, who is his life partner and his best friend. That's what it says right here on the book, right, so I guess that's true.
Right.
And so we encourage you to pick up a copy and get to know this man from his point of view. Dr. Harding, what a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Call anytime, Brian.
Folks, this is what we do every week. We're here talking with very cool people doing very cool things. And it's all because Tallahassee is a very cool place to be. We are going to finish out the show today and wish you the very best Saturday you can have. And we'll be looking for you again next Saturday right here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, a production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. And Carl Cerny is our executive producer. Mindy Clark, our director of guest relations. I'll be looking for you next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
We're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. Their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here.